Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. This is the broadcast for October the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. So, Kurt, Donald Trump to remove birthright citizenship for children. Yeah, they say prompts constitutional uproar. Do you want to comment on this one?
Well, I'm not got any big uproar about it. What do you think about it?
I think we shouldn't have anchor babies in the first place. I know that's racist to say, but that's the term they've called it forever, and it hasn't been racial. It's just been a reality. But Trump to remove, quote, birthright citizenship for children of non-citizens. And I don't see what the constitutional uproar is, Kurt.
Me neither.
And I don't understand why it's such a big battle, but Russia Today with the news, I find it fascinating. How many American media are talking about this, Kurt? Have you seen anything on this?
Yeah, it seemed like I read a couple of them on that.
But are they going to be positive and talk about, you know what, we can't have people basically illegally enter America, have a baby at our expense, and then use that as a way to guarantee or force citizenship? Are they talking about
the
it
only ones
like we
that
are?
Would be positive about it would be the ones that are kind of like positive about the president. Breitbart's got this piece that says President Trump readies plan to end birthright citizenship via executive action. I guess this is what Axios Jonathan Swan asked President Trump in a video interview. He says, on immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution. Trump replied, with an executive order. Swan followed up, and this isn't in our buddy Ben Swan, it's Jonathan Swan. I don't know if it's a relative. It looks like it's only one in, though. He says, exactly, have you thought about that? Yes, Trump replied. Tell me more, Swan implored. It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment. Guess what? You don't, Trump said. Number one, you don't need that. Number two, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress. But now they're saying I can do it with just an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We are the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and it has to end.
Amen. I agree. So do you like the executive order way to go about this, Kurt? I'll explain my views in a second, but what do you think of that? Are you concerned about that, or is that good?
I don't like it.
You don't like it. All right.
Well,
I agree.
The reason I don't like it is it just basically makes the president into a king. If I got a really good king, I like that. I like to have a good person as a king, you know.
If we're going to have a king, we'd like a good one.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
But the problem is our country's not set up for that. It's not made for that. That's why we're supposed to have, you know, all these branches of government, Congress, et cetera, to kind of hold down. I think the phrase that Thomas Jefferson used was to bind him down with the chains of the Constitution. I'd kind of like to just erase all the executive orders ever written and then actually follow the Constitution, eliminate things that shouldn't be there. You know, you have a hard time finding the Federal Reserve in there. You'll have a hard time finding a whole bunch of things, you know, in there.
I agree. And I completely agree with your point fundamentally, Kurt, in that we need the checks and balances. It's not something that the president should just do. However, I have a slightly different take on this a little bit. And I'll articulate it using war as my example. You know what? If we have a national emergency, Donald Trump has quite a bit of latitude to take action and protect the nation. However, if it goes on very long, then we know that the emergency or the crisis is over Now, you could say it's a continuing crisis, but that's playing games with words. The point is, the president has the ability to act, giving Congress time to assemble and research and deliberate and craft appropriate legislative reality and all this kind of stuff. The body of 535 members of Congress, House and Senate, they can't just instantly make decisions to protect America. So the president does have constitutionally some latitude to take care of things while Congress gets it together. So I don't have a problem with Donald writing an executive order that would be very short in nature that would say, due to the fact that we've got, you know, who knows the number? Some say it's 3,000 migrants. Some say it's 7. Some say it's 15,000. Some say we don't know the number, but it's in multiple groups. And, you know, but no doubt we got a massive onslaught at our border. And Donald, I can see writing an executive order, would say, listen, we're not going to allow anchor babies. We're not going to allow these illegals to cross our border. And then because of that, let birthright citizenship, because of illegal parents, granted to the baby, and then give them all these, you know, benefits, these welfare benefits. We're not doing that. So because we've got an emergency coming right now, I don't know how quick these guys will be at the border, for instance. They might all get rides tomorrow and be here in 2 days. Who knows? Okay, and so I'm going to, as president, make an emergency executive order that says, hey, we got to stop this. It's not happening. Now, Congress, I'm hoping that you will go back and appropriately craft legislation to support this temporary solution that I put in place to protect the country. I do see that as appropriate, Kurt. But if we're just going to basically make edicts by executive order, I, like you, reject it. However, I do see a window of legitimacy here that President Trump could use. I don't really want to codify law by executive order by any means, but I do want to protect the nation. And if it takes an executive order on occasion, I think that's what they're for. As long as we step back at the end of the day and say, hey, you know, we're going to have Congress and respect this separate branch of government to eventually codify what becomes law. But this is a temporary executive order. It's kind of like if our nation was attacked. I get the president say we're going to retaliate. We're going to hunt these people down and stop them. We're going to use reprisal, you know, all the constitutional provisions, mark and reprisal, etc. And I'm going to put an executive order that we're going to take action now. But Congress needs to come back and decide what the long-term picture of this looks like. That's my understanding of the check and balance that would be that would make sense on this, that would whatever. And so that's my opinion. I also could say that, you know, with 30 million illegals in America, it's an emergency too. So anyway, that's my understanding. What do you think of that, Kurt? Do you think that makes sense constitutionally, or does that concern you too?
That sounds good, Sam.
I just think that lets the president act unilaterally as he needs to protect the country and deal with emergencies and immediacy situations. But yet it literally respects the separation of powers that we have in America. And so I would say that the executive order would need to be temporary. And if Congress lets it expire, then we got a real battle on our hands, meaning the American people need to come back and say, you officials that didn't get this done, we're going to replace you at the ballot box. Right? Anyway, that's just my take on it. I only spend the time because we teach the ideal, and I hope to articulate how I think the Constitution ought to actually function in practice, right? Anyway, that's why I spend time on it. Now, Donald Trump vows to corral migrant caravans, Kurt, into night tent cities pending asylum trials. Do you want to respond to this one?
I don't know much more that there is to say. You know, you keep them there. You know, he's talked about this several times, whether it's the Middle East or whatever. It's a lot smarter business-wise, expense-wise, all that kind of stuff to house people or at least keep people where they are so that they can be, you know, back into where their homes were or whatever. If you can get that squared away soon, you know, then it's also a way to analyze who's there, you know, who, what we're dealing with, you know. I see they're sending like over 5,000 troops to the border, you know. So, hey, I think he's got it covered.
I'm answering the phone.
I did
well,
hear that.
Well, Kurt,
yeah, I did
but
hear
so
that.
All I'm telling you, Kurt, by the way, though, is I understand your point, and I don't know if this is a plan to build tent cities and keep them in place, like you're saying. Is that what they're saying?
Well, keep them where they are.
Or is it going to be on our side of the border? Where's it going to be?
I'm not sure.
Okay, but, so that's my concern with it. I support, as you wisely point out, if we're talking about tent cities in place so they don't need to travel anymore, pending asylum trials, but who's going to give them the asylum trials? And if so, whose side of the border are they going to be on when this happens, Kurt? So this kind of concerns me. Right? I mean, I don't know what this all means. Is he talking about tent cities on our side of the border or on the Mexican side of the border?
And I'm who, looking for the story to see if I can read what it says.
And who would these asylum trials be had by? Would it be the Mexican government, the Honduran government, the United States government? And if we bring them on our side of the border and we have trials for them, why are we doing that?
Somebody's trying to trump President Trump, and that would be the UN, because now they say that he must allow caravan migrants into America.
All right, so we'll talk about that. Trevor, you're on the radio.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in, talk about what we're talking about here. You know, I think the real problem, and, you know, we look at the problem that we think these guys coming towards the border, and I'm not trying to say it's not, but the real problem we got in America is the tax system and the domestic enemies of the Constitution. That's the bottom line. And if the military really wants to step up and do their job, they're going to start fighting against the domestic enemies of the Constitution.
All right. Do you have more? Do you want to stay on, Trevor?
Yeah.
All right. Stay there, sir. Hold on. I got a hard break. Right back. Sam Curtin, Trevor on your radio.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, Trevor Crosby's chiming in. Trevor, you're saying that, what, there's going to be a fight against those who are advocating for the Constitution?
Gonna be? No. Well, so, yeah, I guess to answer your question, there should be, you know, and pretty sure it's already started a long time ago, but... Yeah, it's getting to the point to where, you know, people are getting away with things, and we need to take off the gloves and not be afraid to do our job. And when it comes to people that are getting paid to go ahead and retire in 20 years, like your local law enforcement, and you go right up the post all the way to the president. The gloves have got to come off. We've got to drain the swamp. You know, we've got to start doing our job. You can't say, oh, that dude needs to do his job. You got to lift where you stand. You got to do your job. And Sam Bushman is a prime example of somebody who does their job. Okay? Now, we as people need to one by one do our job to fight against those enemies of the Constitution to protect our country, our family, our freedom of religion, our right to bear arms, peacefully assemble. If we don't, if we just let these people keep sliding, you know, people that blatantly come out against the Constitution need to be dealt with. And we need to create accountability. That's how it should be in America. You should be accountable. Now, people, you know, want to just get away with doing things and supporting people and paying people to go out and fight against the Constitution and get away with it just because they didn't kill anybody. Well, I don't know if that should be right.
Amen. Appreciate it, sir.
Yep.
All right. There he goes. You want to respond to Trevor, Kurt? I think his point's well taken that, you know what, we need to ratchet up accountability. We need to take the gloves off. We need to peacefully do it, but we need to draw the line in the sand about, you know what, you can't just run around and down the supreme law of the land without having accountability for it. At some point, it's paramount to insurrections and those kinds of things. And, you know, we need to do our job. The best way I know to do the job peacefully, though, really, in my opinion, is the new media needs to take center stage. If we can go ahead and call these issues out when they happen, you know, if people are aware, I think that's the starting point for solutions, Kurt.
Yep. Yep. We got a lot to do, huh, Sam?
All right. Any other comments on Trevor's remarks?
No. I appreciate his listening and, you know, throwing in his bit and doing his best as he tries to, you know, hey, survive in the country we live in and make things better for him as well as children and grandchildren, etc. That's what duty we all have.
Amen. All right. On my point, Donald Trump vows to corral migrant caravans in the nice tent cities pending asylum trials. Do we know where he's going to do this, Kurt? Are we going to let him into our country and then put him in tent cities and then give him a trial in America or not? And if Donald's going to corral them in tent cities in somebody else's country, who's going to provide these, quote, asylum trials, Kurt? So there's a little bit of question that I have on this. No answers? You don't know?
Nope.
All right. Anyway, we'll have to find out about that, but that concerns me greatly. Are you concerned about that, Kurt, or you think it's okay?
My concern about them, stopping the criminals that are trying to break our laws and come into our country?
No, of course we want to stop them. We're not concerned about stopping them. I'm talking about Donald Trump wants to build tent cities. You're aware of this, right? I'm concerned where those tent cities are going to be.
I don't know that it was tent cities or just, you know, hey, here's these people trying to get in, you know, instead of like just shooting them all at the border, you know. Then you basically, you know, got to turn them around or, you know, at least say, there'll be media there wanting to take pictures and show how mean the president is, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you just type in Trump tent cities, you'll see a bunch of headlines.
Yeah.
Trump says he'll put any asylum seeker in the tent cities. Trump says U.S. will build tent cities to house these migrants. Trump plans tent cities at U.S.-Mexico border. Trump, we're going to build tent cities. Okay. Trump planning to build tent cities. I mean, there's tons of articles. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little concerned. Whose side of the border are they going to be on? On the Mexican side? Pending asylum trials. Who's going to give them these trials? Are we? Now, the Pentagon deploying over 5,200 troops to the southwestern border to stop migrant caravans. Kurt, want to come in on that one?
Yeah, it's a Breitbart piece, and you know, I think first he said, "Hey, we're going to send 800." Now they ratcheted it up to 5,200. So, you know, it's, I mean, protecting our borders and protecting the United States from invasion is pretty much a primary.
It's necessary to defend America.
That they ought to be doing, I think.
All right. I guess the United Nations are in the news about this. As you mentioned, Kurt, right before Trevor called, they're trying to Trump.
It would be a perfect time for the president to just say, look, you know, Nikki Haley's out of there. And just like, you know, some in our Congress have reminded me, hey, we just need to replace her with nobody. And we're not going to send you guys any more money. So we're shutting down our efforts at the UN. You know, it'd be a perfect opportunity. But the UN is telling President Trump that, hey, you know, we're the big boys. We got to tell you what to do. I don't think they should do that very much, because it'd be a great idea for him to just move on with that, eliminate the UN, the whole thing.
Well, the United Nations is saying we must allow caravan migrants into America. So when the United Nations is saying that, when the Democrats are saying that, and Donald's going to build tent cities for these people, I just don't know. I mean, does he have authority to say he's going to build a tent city in Mexico, Kurt?
He might as well just annex Mexico, you know. Just say,
wait a minute, you want to annex
executive
Mexico?
Order?
Whoa.
Just an executive order, you know, we're just going to take over, you know, this extra part. Since you guys can't handle your people down there, we're going to have to take care of things.
All right, know? Kurt's taking over on the North American Union, ladies and gentlemen. He's ready to promote this dude. Should we annex Canada while we're at it?
You know, it was another interesting part about that speech that we were talking about earlier, where he mentioned that Canada had like a 200-something% tariff on dairy products, you know, going in there. He said, man, you know, people couldn't even see that or understand that until they dug in there, you know. We got a lousy deal going on, so many of those trade deals of ours. But yeah, the United Nations, Trump must allow caravan migrants into America. I'm sure that, you know, after he read that, he's just going to start doing what the United Nations tells him, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. But I know this, though. I'm concerned when the president says we're going to build tent cities for these people while we await their trials. It sounds like to me that I don't know that he can say that on behalf of Mexico, can he, Kurt?
I think he can pretty much say whatever he wants. He has kind of freedom of speech, whereas we in America, the rest of us, some of us have a little bit more than others.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I wouldn't, if I was the president of the United States, I wouldn't try to make commitments that, you know, we're going to build cities on foreign soil. And I wouldn't be saying we're going to be giving them, quote, what do they call these things, asylum trials? You know, I wouldn't be, you know, proposing that in other countries as if I could kind of speak for their laws. But I agree he can say what he wants. But it concerns me how that's going to go down. I can see the writing on the wall that that's not good. All right, caravan migrant in the news, Kurt. Now, Donald said they were dangerous and people mocked the president. Now we're finding out a little more that Donald Trump is right once again, Kurt.
Yeah, there's a... I guess they got some interview on Breitbart where the guy basically said, hey, I attempted murder and I was up on trial for it. Now I'm trying to come back into America for it, for something else, you know. Probably going to be a good guy this time.
Well, don't we have this just a constant narrative?
By the way, it looks like PBS says they're going to be at the U.S.-Mexico border. So maybe they'll just be these tent cities just right on the border, you know, just like on the line.
I don't know what that means. Hold on.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
To Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. President Donald Trump says that he's planning tent cities to house asylum-seeking Central American migrants who are traveling in caravans towards the United States. Trump says, in an interview with Fox News host Laura Ingraham, that if they do make it to the border and apply for asylum, as they're, quote, legally entitled, the U.S. plans to hold them until such time as their trial takes place. So Donald's already basically saying, you know what, if they're legally entitled to asylum, they're going to be housed in America. And if the asylum happens, then they're in. And if the asylum doesn't happen, then they got to leave. Now, he says that it's legal. They are legally entitled to this. And I think that he's right, Kurt, that that's the way our current laws read. That's why Donald's been asking Congress to get on this yesterday. He said, we're going to set up tents all over the place. We're not going to build complicated, expensive buildings and stuff like that. Trump says we're going to build tent cities. We're going to put tents up all over the place, and they're going to wait. Under current, quote, protocol, that's an interesting word, migrants who clear initial screening are released until their cases are decided in an immigration court, which could take several years. There you have it, Kurt. Sometimes waits are up to 2 years. Any comment on this, Kurt? So I think they're going to be let into the United States. I just think Donald's not going to do the let them apply for asylum and then just let them roam the country while we decide. He says he's going to put them in tent cities and they're going to have to wait. The problem is it'll take a lot of work to guard those tent cities and make sure they don't just slip away. It's going to be expensive to do this. I wonder if we're thinking tent cities. I wonder if Joe Arpaio is going to be in charge of it, Kurt. Any thoughts on that? Put those dudes in what? Pink underwear? What was it? What was the color?
Well,
of the
yeah,
underwear?
Joe knows how to do the tents in the desert. Yeah. So, you know,
I don't know if that's the plan. What do you think,
Kurt? I haven't
Kurt?
Heard anything about that.
I haven't heard about Joe yet. No, but I mean, tent cities is all over the place, right?
Yep. Even so PBS has got that.
Anyway, what do you think about this, Kurt?
Yeah, I think it would be a lot smarter than having them come in and giving them some court date and never having them show up again. You know?
I agree.
So,
and this is an example, Kurt, where you would point out that, Kurt, the swamp is really deep and the laws are a problem just letting this happen. And Donald Trump is doing the best he can with the constraints he has, right?
Yep.
And that's the way I see it. I see that he's doing just the best he can.
I agree.
You know, he's not just going to be a king and run around and do things. He's saying, look, I've got rules, and you know what? I might have to let him in. I might have to let him appeal for citizenship, and we're going to have to let the courts do their job. And the sad part is, here's what's probably going to happen. Donald's going to put him in tent cities. They're going to go to court. The liberal judges are going to let him off, and they're going to basically walk free in the United States. I pray that that doesn't happen, but I'm telling you, with the United Nations pushing, with Donald already saying he's going to build tent cities, we're already talking about granting them asylum. I'll be surprised if it doesn't happen. Now, I believe we might stop some of the criminals. So this guy, this caravan migrant that admits that he was previously deported from the United States for attempted murder. Now, that guy might not get in. I don't know. But Judicial Watch is speaking out too, Kurt.
That's right, Sam. And let's see. Let's find that Judicial Watch story. They say the headline from InfoWars, Judicial Watch calls for criminal investigation of Soros funding behind caravan. USAID awarding grants to Soros groups, says Judicial Watch. So, you know, the Judicial Watch boys seem to always be digging away and finding out good nuggets. So good work, Judicial Watch.
Yeah, and I find that interesting about this, though. You know, we hear that migrants refusing housing and jobs in America. I mean, it's a big deal. And I think Donald is doing the best he can, but, you know, hey, our laws are what lets George Soros apply for funding and get it, right? I mean, Congress made the laws to let that happen, not Donald. Mm-hmm. Now, Utah's in the news in relation to Mexico, too, Kurt.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember how Utah is.
Was Utah offers to pay public employees to fill their prescriptions in Mexico, Kurt.
Yeah, this one is pretty cool. So, Sam, I guess apparently, you know, I'm not really up on the cost of prescriptions, you know, very well. But according to this story, they've got some drugs that, you know, you can, I mean, I think the term drug is pretty well used here. But you got some drugs that apparently cost as much as like, let's see, I'm going to find a little part in this story. The headline, by the way, says Utah offers to pay public employees, which would be government employees, to fill their prescriptions in Mexico. So they talk about the high cost of these drugs, and they talk about something called the pharmacy tourism program. They say it isn't an entirely new idea. I haven't seen much of this. I mean, I've seen individuals do it, but not governments kind of, you know, talk about it, but they talk about a three-month supply of the most expensive drug on the plan called Avanox. You ever heard of Avanox, Sam?
No, I don't get into drugs much, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Me neither. But anyway, this one, in case you're wondering.
By the way, the reason Avanox, I say I don't get into drugs say, much is because I drink caffeine and Kurt thinks I'm on drugs. So, you know what I mean?
This drug, they say, called Avanox, costs $20,000 for a three-month period.
Well, if the illegals on the border sell it, then they could take care of themselves, Kurt.
Yeah, they say you can get it for $6,600 in a clinic in Tijuana. That means they say that this health plan, you know, this they call it PEHP health plan, the pharmacy tourism program, can save more than $13,000 when they send their customers to fill their prescriptions in Mexico, far more than the cost of airfare. Now, Sam, why can't they just, you know, do a like a FaceTime view at the drug clinic down there and say, look, this is me. Here's my prescription. Send me my stuff.
You know, I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because there's too many laws, Kurt. Too many regulations to just shut that down. It's a great idea, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently
I think you're onto something. I think that we ought to, you know, get rid of a lot of those regulations and rules and make that happen.
You could
Kurt.
Say, yeah, where you could say we're doing it to save the trees. We're doing it to save the, make the air cleaner so we don't have to have these people flying. You know, and of course, then they could say, look, you know, you guys are getting that drug there for $6,600 instead of paying $20,000 in the U.S. You know, what we'll do is we'll just, you know, replace yours. You know, you give it to them from your local pharmacy. We'll give you a big shipment. I mean, it's just crazy.
I agree,
though,
Kurt.
Sam.
You're exactly right. But Donald talks about this, Kurt, and talks about it's the regulation. What these drug companies have worked out with our United States government is we subsidize big time the drugs for these other countries and stuff like that. It's a kind of a special deal that's drawn up between, quote, Big Pharma, the Food and Drug Administration, and governments and everything else. This is a regulatory nightmare.
Yep.
And I think Donald's onto something to work on this, Kurt. I really do, and I think your point's correct. We got to do something about it. I'll give you an example. I called up my internet company and said, hey, can you guys, you know, drop my, you know, bill on this? And they're like, oh, no, we can't. And I'm like, why? Well, the government won't let us. Really, the FCC won't let them, Kurt. Did you know that Comcast has business connections, right? And I can get a business connection to my home business, and it comes with free TV, Kurt.
Yep.
Well, it doesn't really come with free TV. If I have a business in a business setting, it comes with free TV. They're not allowed to offer that TV free in my package to my home-based business because it's against the law, Kurt. This is no joke.
I know. It's just,
this is what I'm talking about. So I think your idea is incredible. I really do. But I think that it's just all the regulations surrounding this and stuff just makes your idea absolutely impossible. Now, it's not impossible because we could change it. And that's exactly what I believe the president's working on here, Kurt, and exposing this stuff. And you bring up a valid point. Why can't they just work out a deal? I mean, if NAFTA's really happening, let's just have free trade. Let them go ahead and import those meds and let them go ahead and just sell them right here locally and just do it. It'll be phenomenal.
Good deal. Yeah.
I think Kurt's on to something, folks. There's only one problem. Government regulations. The swamp. Good point.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
All right, we're talking about Utah. Offers to pay public employees to fill their prescriptions in Mexico. I don't know how they're going to get that done. I don't know if they're just like going to roll down to Mexico or what's going to happen, but Kurt had an idea. Due to government regulation, his idea is not possible, but it's a brilliant idea, Kurt. It should happen yesterday. Donald's working on it. Kurt's wise to bring it up because I believe that it is the point, right, Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, just so you know, on that Utah plan, they call it the Pharmacy Tourism Program. You remember when we did that story about the guys basically touring over to India if they wanted to have a, you know, say a $250,000 surgery that would be that much here in America, they could just fly over to India and get it for 10 grand and have their own doctor and lawyer, or doctor and nurse and all that stuff. Well, this is somewhat like that. They say with drug prices in the U.S., oh, Siri thinks I'm talking. Did I say Siri? With drug prices in the United States soaring far higher than its neighbors, one insurance provider has a unique idea to keep those costs down. They're offering free transportation and a cash payout of $500 to any customers who will fill their prescriptions in Tijuana, Mexico. They call it the Pharmacy Tourism Program. Now, Sam, you know, this is would save a lot of money, but I'll tell you what, it'd save even more. Got some more ideas ready? You know, just like with education, imagine if you said to every family that has some kid going to government school, look, you choose where your money goes and you can find whatever school, private, religious, whatever. And there would be so much competition for education. It'd be the same way in healthcare if you told the people, look, it's been costing us, you know, a couple grand to get you your drugs or whatever. You know, wherever you can get them, you know, it's up to you, but whatever money you save, you get to keep half of it. Now, you know, like on this line, I know somebody who uses insulin, for example, and, you know, I was looking it up on eBay. You don't find too many people buying insulin on eBay, I suppose.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I was looking it up.
That's me.
Why wouldn't you, Sam?
Because I don't know the people involved.
Well, you mean eBay?
I don't know
eBay.
Where it's coming from. Yeah. No, the sellers on eBay, whoever's selling.
Yeah, well, they rate people on eBay, Sam.
Yeah, I know. And they what got they this do is feedback they, is what it's called, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. And they figure out who's, you know, worthy
good guys,
of whatever.
Well, and if you have a lot of feedback from a lot of people and the feedback's positive, then you can be pretty assured it's a good seller. I understand.
Yeah. And it was interesting to me looking at some of it. You know, it's like in my watch list. I'll just read you what it says here, for example, on the medicine insulin. It says this guy's got, you know, 100% positive feedback, and it says, hey, I've got 10 boxes of insulin pens, 5 in each box, regular price, $600 each box retail. Starting bid, $200 each box. All good dates, refrigerator kept. You know, when you see that you can find, you know, just like a guy like me, just, you know, the government's paying the $600, right? And you know that if it's so easy for me to find it, that ought to be easier as well. Like, here's one. The guy says, I've got 10 vials at fast-acting insulin, retail at Walmart, $324 each. He's open to selling, you know, individuals, but he's starting it at $75. See, $324 to $75. I think that's like lower, right, Sam?
But it's like 25%, a little less than that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I think you're wise, and I think you make a valid point, Kurt, for sure. Now, you know, I don't know how many people are comfortable going on eBay to buy their meds or whatever else, but your point's well taken. Whether you do the Mexico Tourism Pharmacy Program or whether you do eBay or whatever, the point is these things are available. And, you know, when you bring up education, you're talking about basically having what would they call it, the Education Tourism Program, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, the competition and education. You know, one other group that I want to highlight.
Kurt just wants all these people's heads to explode, right, Kurt?
Yeah, well, I like to choose solutions from wherever, not just like, oh, no, solution can't come out of the box on this side, you know.
Yeah,
but the Atlas.md guys out of Wichita, I think it's Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
They're providing, I mean, basically medications for people for like $1. You know, and people can get services from the doctor for, you know, like $50 a month is their, you know, charges. We've already talked many times about the good health or cost share programs from the Christians and others. You know,
yeah,
there's
by the way,
plenty
I do
of
Liberty Health Share
ideas. Yeah, yeah. Plenty of options there.
Yeah.
And plenty of ways to get this thing done. But we got to look outside of the box, and the president's, he's outside the box.
Well, I think he's doing a good job. I think we got to keep working on it, and no doubt we can change the game for healthcare and reduce costs and not have government-controlled single-payer everything and all that. So that's good news. Now, Kurt wanted to go ahead and annex Mexico. And Ann Coulter has a similar idea, Kurt. Do you have this headline handy?
Well, Ann Coulter basically saying to invade Mexico, as far as I can tell.
Ann Coulter said Trump should have the U.S. military invade Mexico. Now, let's be clear. Kurt is joking, and so is Ann. But they're making a valid point, though. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, you know, Mexico's having their people invade America.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
You know, so
in other words, they're kind of annexing America. If all of a sudden they're going to push in and build tent cities, they're kind of annexing America, aren't they?
Yeah, sure.
Your point's
like
well taken, Kurt. It's a good point, and so is her point.
Yeah, you know, and that's the bottom line. Ann Coulter willing to say a lot of stuff most of the time that people don't want to hear, or at least people might think, but they don't want to bring up. Here's some headlines about her article. Ann Coulter caravan conveniently, they spell it wrong, but anyway, coming to biggest welfare state. You know, and that's another point she's bringing out. Imagine if we didn't have a handout all these goodies.
And Donald would stop it tomorrow. He's talked about it, Kurt, but there's too many laws that he can't just turn off the spigot. Congress has to do that.
I mean, it's about Halloween, you know, tomorrow is Halloween. And what if in your neighborhood you knew of a guy that handed out a dozen donuts to anybody who came to the door? Is there a lot of people that would go there? I would submit there's a lot of people that would go there, Sam.
Kurt would go
Whereas,
there to do research.
Another guy, yeah, that's right. Whereas another guy that handed out one Tootsie Roll, he's going to get, you know, pretty little traffic. And yet, that's the situation in America. We hand out free education, free health care. That was one thing that the president mentioned about California. I don't know if you remember that, about the transcript or the thing there. But he said, hey, in California, that governor that's running there against Mr. Cox, he's wanting to basically hand out all these freebies to everybody. He says, they just all be able to pay for it. But they're going to be, they're going to have more people there in
California. If they print enough Federal Reserve notes, they will be able to.
They're going to have to print their own money.
All right. Anyway, Ann Coulter's column is a great one for sure.
Yeah.
And what I like about Ann Coulter is when you read what she writes, she's fun to read too. What I mean is that she makes her poignant points that are very, like, they're zingers, right? But they're also kind of couched in a funny way in many times. They're pretty good. All right, Kurt, you'll like this headline. I'll let you respond to it. Here it is. Headline says this. The military's obsession with energy drinks is contributing to PSD, study finds. I'm going to respond to that one, Kurt.
Well, this is just messed up science, Sam. I'm sure that there's nothing really there. I mean,
good point.
In fact, those are probably healthy for people. You know, they're energy drinks, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good for you. Sure. Anyway, do you want to respond to this at all?
Well, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that something like you amp people up with a bunch of, where does the line between a drug and an energy drink stop?
I don't know. You have to ask your government, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they got all the answers. They're the one that make all those regulations and rules and guidelines and definitions. And I mean, it's above my pay grade, buddy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway, I found that interesting, though. They got this study, and, you know, so you're going to have all these military folks, 5,200 of them on the border there, pounding energy drinks and mixing it up with the illegals. It's going to be great. Just watch.
Yeah, should be exciting. You know.
All right, final headline before the end of the hour. There's a report, Kurt. Millions of dollars in food stamps flowed to terrorists. You see that?
Really?
Yeah.
You know, there's a way to fix this, Sam.
Oh, come on, Kurt.
Yeah. You quit doing the food stamp program, and, you know, you will have nobody taking advantage of it. Nobody will waste money doing it, etc. Right, Sam?
Yeah.
But, hey, they don't mention that in the article, do they?
No, but it's a good point you bring up, and it's you know, spot on in terms of its reality check. But I think about that, and I think food stamps literally funding terrorists, Kurt?
Well, I mean,
and then I say they might be funding the migrants, you know, trying to use this conduit to get to America. And they're like, oh, conspiracy theorist. You're crazy. What are you talking about? You must be an anti-Semite, huh? It's like, what?
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm just concerned where my tax dollars are going. I kind of need them for my family, Kurt. Did you know that?
Oh, Sam, don't worry. If you're out of money, they'll give you some. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. The Blaze says, will Trump crash the economy? Don't be fooled.
Wow.
Think Trump's going to crash the economy, Kurt?
You know, I think the Federal Reserve's trying to do that, you know, at least in my opinion. But when you get all these people working, Sam, one job, you know, leads to another. And it's just, you know, kind of like economic havoc.
I'll tell you what I think. I think Donald Trump in many ways is doing such a good job, the Federal Reserve might crash the economy to try to blame things on the Donald.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't believe that the good moves bringing back manufacturing and reducing regulations and lowering taxes and all these kind of things. I don't see how that's going to destroy the economy, Kurt. It never has before.
Right. Good point.
Why would you think it would now?
Imagine if he followed it up and got rid of the Fed and got honest money going on. I mean, you know.
Oh, boy, howdy. The economic engine that was the envy of the world to be back in place in America would. If we had honest money and then we quit killing babies, just imagine what would happen then, Kurt. The Almighty would smile upon us. And the repentance could begin, and the forgiveness could begin, and we could make America great again. Could we even stand that, Kurt?
Ooh.
I think it'll be a glorious day. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Right, 2 hours in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network today, would you please? LibertyNewsRadio.com. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.